This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here in White House, Tennessee. He is our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jack Collins is going to join the program later on this hour talking all things World Cup. And, of course, got a big hour coming up in the following one. We're going to have our managing editor, Adam Burke, on the program, our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds, as well as we look ahead to the Travelers Championship, the last elevated event ever on the PGA Tour. But Jensen Lewis, for right now, all the buzz is about the kids about to go to the NBA. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Chalk, chalk, chalk. DeBonza, Peterson, Boozer. 1-2-3 in the NBA draft. I think that chalk even extended a little bit further past that. Jensen, not a whole lot of surprises yesterday in the first round of the NBA draft. So since it went according to plan, I wonder now what the plan is for some of these teams, rookie of the year markets, those sort of things, Jensen. We know the fallout from the Giannis trade is still kind of the ripple effects around the league. And some of those did affect some of the trades we saw after the drafts were officially called yesterday in the first round.
Yeah, again, a very sleepy draft and not a lot of intrigue. Kind of fell asleep after the seventh or eighth selection. It's kind of like, all right, what's going on here? But now we kind of shift our attention to the business of the rest of these teams. Now knowing that Giannis Antetokounmpo is a member of the Miami Heat, what will Jaylen Brown's destination be? Will it be Boston? Will he be wearing a different jersey come the regular season opener in October? But as far as where the rookies are, I think we've got as top heavy a class and as deep a top that we've had in quite some time. So anxious to see what an AJ DeBanza, Darren Peterson, Cameron Boozer, those top three are going to have immediate impact right from day one.
I know Darren Peterson's excited to get out there to Utah. You know, we don't say that very often. And he has, I think, a very unique goal for a rookie. And I think for maybe old school people like myself, maybe a refreshing take on his expectation level for year one as a rookie. Take a listen.
Sure. Goals, play all 82 games. Coming off the year I had at Kansas, I didn't get to play all the games that I wanted to. My first goal is to play all 82, make the playoffs. Try to get a ring. I've seen a lot of some rookies get deep in the playoffs, and they kind of inspired me to get there. They came up short, but I want to get all the way in and get a ring.
Okay, all I'm going to say, Jensen, I find it refreshing. Now, I don't know if that's a shot at Bill Self in Kansas and, you know, whether load management. Remember, a lot of those games, it seems like he dictated when he was going to play and when he was not going to play. If this is on the up and up, that's like the old Michael Jordan mentality of, I want to play all 82 games. I don't know what the prop market would say out there where we set that number for an over-under of actual games played or started. But Jensen, at least he's saying, I think, what you'd want to hear if you're a fan of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, and again, the Jazz, many of our colleagues here on the network, very high on what Utah's future could be immediately this year. So a huge get for them. We were joking yesterday, nice consolation prize. If you can't get AJ DeBonza, Darren Peterson will fit quite nicely into the backcourt there for the Jazz for years to come.
All right, for the VSiN by the Books books, what would we set that number at for games started in year one in Utah? Can I set the number at 74, Jensen? Would you play over or under?
No clue. And honestly, we'll see what happens through training camp, injury issues, motivation. We'll see what happens with how they want to deploy him for sure.
All right. Well, we'll move along then to the Portland Trailblazers, because the story out there is Mike Anori, and he's going to get a prove-it deal for a head coach. You don't see this all the time in the ranks of the professionals, but it's a one-year deal to be the new head coach here out in Portland. Jensen, what do you make of that? We have seen it before, but it is very rare.
Yeah, it is. And again, you think about it in baseball terms, Kurt Suzuki had a one-year deal here to be the manager of the LA Angels. But with Nori walking in here, again, you're looking at a starting five. You got Scoot Henderson and Drew Holiday in the backcourt. Denny Avita is one of those guys in the front court that really came on. They had a lot of momentum, and I'm anxious to see kind of what they do if there are moves to be made here continuing this offseason. But always that motivation factor. If you do prove it, then you have to reward him after that, don't you? So again, you can go cheap, but there's a two-way street here. If you want buy-in, you better be able to pay up.
Be interesting to see out west. There's some young teams like Portland, like Utah, that may be starting to grab people's attention a little bit. Let's see if they could be on the cusp of being a playoff team this year. World Cup. We're going to talk again more with Jack Collins a bit later on this hour about breaking it down in detail, but they're going to conclude group play here in A, B, and C. We already know that D is all set with Team US of A, already wrapping that match. They've got one more match against Turkey IE, but they've already wrapped up the group here, Jensen. What are you looking for specifically today?
All right, so some obvious things here when you start to get into the final match of group play. And what they do creatively here, Dave, is all four teams will play at the same time so that you don't kind of know what you got to do. This is a great scoreboard watching time to qualify for the knockout round. So the 3 p.m. matches today, Bosnia and Qatar, and then Switzerland and Canada. That is the finale of Group B. The one you're looking at here, at least to start, Canada can win the group with a draw or a win against Switzerland, because both of those teams have 4 points. However, Switzerland would have to beat Canada by 4 goals to overtake them in goal differential. So that's a big part of where you can qualify in the knockout. Bosnia currently is on the outside looking in for the top 8 of the third place standings. Remember, that's a new wrinkle this year of how to be able to qualify. So that is how the 3 p.m. slate lines up. The 6 p.m. slate is a part of Group C here, and that will be Morocco and Haiti from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Scotland and Brazil from Hard Rock Stadium there in Miami Gardens. Now, the rub on Group C is that both Brazil and Morocco have 4 points. However, Brazil leading Morocco by 2 in the goal differential. So they kind of control their own destiny here. A win by Brazil would pretty much lock up not only a clincher into the knockout round, but would really force Morocco to have to run up the score on Haiti. Now, it's possible they can do that, but both Brazil and Morocco looking at potential knockout qualifications with at least a draw, if not wins, respectively, against Haiti and Scotland. The 9 p.m. matchup is going to have a lot of intrigue. Now, Mexico has already won Group A, Dave, so really nothing for them to play for at this point. Czechia is in a unique position where they are the 8. They would be, if the knockout round started today, they would be the final team in to the knockout round. They are currently 8th in the third place standing. So they will be motivated to be able to win and solidify a spot into the knockout round. South Africa and South Korea, which will be at Estadio BBVA at Guadalupe. South Korea can win. South Korea wins and they clinch 2nd place in Group A. So a lot on the line there. They kind of control their own destiny, a win and they are in. And so a lot of scoreboard watching from these three groups simultaneously at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Every time I hear Haiti, I just think of a Bad Idea Jeans from Saturday Night Live back in the great Phil Hartman. We're still doing some amazing comedy. Kids, if you haven't seen it, Google it. You will not be disappointed. There is another twist and turn coming now in the saga that is Brendan Sorsby. And it just feels like every day we get a new story. Well, how about this one? The NFL has clapped back because, remember, the word was we're going to have a supplemental date for his draft, and you got to get this approved by the league, and all the teams said they would be there. There was even some speculation he could garner a first-round selection in this supplemental draft. Well, that's not going to happen, Jensen, because there is no supplemental draft that's going to be happening right now for Brendan Sorsby. So it looks like he might have to throw his hat back into the ring for next April's draft. I wonder if there's more litigation against the NFL after litigation against the NCAA. Jensen, the story won't go away, but it looks like Sorsby might have to go away for quite some time.
Yeah, and the NFL really standing their ground. For those just joining us, FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, listening on Sirius Channel 158, here is part of the league's letter to Sorsby and his representation. Quote, "Your petition filed 3 business days before the deadline without any supporting information or documentation, and only after abandoning your recent litigation efforts to avoid NCAA sanctions does not provide a basis for the league to alter those plans to have that supplemental draft. In an NFL source telling Pete Thamel, Adam Schefter, great friends of our program, quote, his application carries with it a lot of issues, core of the game integrity issues. Dave, in not so plain English, they're not letting him in because of all the gambling stuff, and they don't want that slippery slope, at least immediately. I'll be interested to see what the Players Association does and if they kind of help on Sorsby's behalf. But this feels like we're getting a pause in the Brendan Sorsby era for at least this year.
I know, and you see it on social media, and I understand where people are coming from. Hey, you know, all the issues that a lot of players have in the NFL that they allow to play, and some of a very serious nature. We're not denigrating any of those claims because they're accurate. But the one thing that would kill a league more than anything is the specter of games being fixed. And if you got a guy with a gambling problem who's potentially a quarterback in a league, that would be a terrible look. So you can understand why the NFL is pushing back right now on Brendan Sorsby. We got it. Speaking of the NFL, one of the old execs there in the NFL is now going to be leading the PGA Tour. Brian Rolapp is his name. And it's kind of like Reggie Hammond in 48 hours. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Brian Rolapp. And this guy is making huge changes to the PGA Tour. We'll get into some of those later on in the program with Wes Reynolds. But just know it's going to have more of a, we're not going to compete against the NFL in their schedule. There's going to be two tours now, two tiers of players on the PGA Tour. It's going to be new and exciting changes, from my opinion, starting next year. When we come back, some favorite futures we have in the NFL. That's next right here. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out right now. So if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to all of our betting features, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Roy, and the Super Bowl odds. Our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camps even begin. You're going to get breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, I'm Dave Ross, and we're going to have Jack Collins join us to talk soccer, or football, as they say over there. We say football, Jensen, and we're talking about our American football right here in the good old US of A. Tomorrow, we're going to start breaking down a team a day as we get ready for the preseason, the Hall of Fame game coming up here in short order here, Jensen. So we'll do that in earnest. But with the betting guide out, we've got some plays that we like, and we wanted to kind of dive deeper into that a little bit. Now, I've got a play that I can just tell you right now, Jensen, is going to be very unpopular in the network, okay? I am looking at the Fightin' Fish down there in South Beach as a play that I've already made for a win total over 4.5. How in the world could you bet the Dolphins over 4.5, you say? Easily. Let me tell you how. When you look at what they're doing now, this is the most anti-Miami Dolphin traditional setup that you might have since Jimmy Johnson was the head coach back in the 90s. Why does that matter? Well, that's the last time you had a coach that really emphasized defense, really emphasized defense, and knew how to operate that defense. They had guys like Joe Philbin and some other head coaches in the past that didn't really get it done down there in South Beach from a defensive-minded orientation. I think that's what you're going to get with Jeff Hafley. That's where you're getting from the former assistant GM in Green Bay, now taking over as the GM with Hafley. You've got a brain trust, Jensen, and you know how I like to bet these things, that I'm looking at, where's your calling card? What do you do best? Well, this is what they're going to do better. They're going to make this football team a whole heck of a lot tougher. And I think for the first time, and it might not manifest itself necessarily this year, they're going to have an outlook of how do we win, as almost comical as it sounds, when it gets cold and when we have to leave South Beach in November and December. He's going to get this team, job number one, prepared to do that, like Jimmy Johnson was able to do back in the late 90s. So to me, this is a team with the lowest win total on the board at 4.5. And obviously now you got Malik Willis coming in, also coming in from Green Bay. They knew exactly who they wanted to call the plays and to be the trigger man. And they got him. And they brought him with them. So they clearly had a detailed plan day one that they're taking down to South Beach. Now, look, I get it. The Bills are really good. The Patriots were in the Super Bowl last year. The Jets appear to be improved on paper. All I think I need in order to get to 5 or more is 2 divisional wins. I don't know if that could be a sweep of the Jets. That would be nice. But I also look at the rest of the schedule, and I think there's spots on there that will be doable. And the other thing that I want to point out is a lot of times people bet on what they saw last year, and that's going to be what they think they're going to see this year. And that can be a very fool's errand out there in the betting market. And I'm not one of those guys. I look at it independently as this team for the Dolphins being completely different from the one they had a year ago, starting again with the brain trust in the quarterback. Devon Achane is coming back at running back, and I think that's a really key piece for a guy like Malik Willis to have. So, Jensen, I'm not saying this is going to be like my Titans plays or my Falcons plays where I think those teams could potentially win the division and go from last to first. That's not what I'm saying here with the Miami Dolphins. What I am saying, I would not be surprised if this is a 6-win football team. I wouldn't be surprised if this team looks completely different from what you're used to seeing in South Beach going back to the Dan Marino days. Tried to relive it with Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniels and company, where it's just pass happy and defense be damned. If we get some, that's great. No, this team is going to be physically, mentally tough, lower scoring games, keep them in games, and make those games winnable. And for that reason, I'm playing over 4.5 as one of my favorite under-the-radar plays this year in a win total.
Wow. You faced some serious headwinds with that, my friend. According to our VSiN NFL betting guide, the Dolphins have the 4th toughest schedule in the league. Now, I'm interested to see where we might play them in millions. For what it's worth, and a great aspect of our new NFL betting guide, each game on the schedule has a big trend between those opponents. That game against the Raiders, the over has hit in 11 of the last 13 head-to-head matchups. And I think we could have open season if Kirk Cousins is hitting the ground running there with the weaponry in Las Vegas. That'll be indoors, so you could get a little track meet between both those offenses. So very interested to see how that win total can get home for you, my man. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. One of my favorite playoff parlays is the Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers to make the postseason. You can find this at DraftKings at +$1.21. And Dave, for my money, let's start with Buffalo. I know a lot of people in the network like Buffalo to win the AFC East. That qualifies you for the postseason. But even if you do fall short there with Buffalo, I would believe that their talent, and then obviously the health of Josh Allen should make them pretty much a near lock to at least be a wild card team. We've got an improvement on the defense. We've got additional weapons around Josh Allen. And I don't see where Buffalo does not end up being one of the 7 teams that's playing football, and particularly probably deep into January. I think the San Francisco 49ers, and still one of the toughest, if not arguably the toughest division in football, still have one of the most talented rosters, Dave. I mean, the combination of the skilled players, we know offensive line play when they're right. Good luck stopping Christian McCaffrey and company. The defensive front gives them a very high ceiling, but we know what that variable is for the last handful of years. It's health. And we've already seen the backup quarterback have to be in there and what Mac Jones had to do in relief of Brock Purdy. Can the offensive line stay healthy enough throughout the entirety of the year to not only protect the quarterback, but to limit the damage that Christian McCaffrey inevitably is going to take throughout an 18-week season? All that being said, when they're at full strength, Dave, they're a lock to be a playoff team. So I went with a little fun parlay of two teams, the Niners and the Bills at plus $1.21 to make the postseason is one of my favorite future plays headed in to 2026.
Don't hate it. I just, you know, the word lock sometimes it makes me recoil a little bit in the betting market. So I never take anything for granted when it comes to that front. But yeah, I agree. Look, I really like the Buffalo Bills selection, obviously. I know we might be at odds as to who's going to win that division. I think it's going to be Buffalo. My concern with Buffalo is Joe Brady. And I know we had Matt Eumanns on again, and like, subscribe to the VEASAN by the Book podcast. And he thinks that's actually an upgrade over Sean McDermott. I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet because I didn't look at the offensive side of the ball as necessarily the issue. I felt like defense and maybe age and injury, Matt Milano through the years there. I'm going to be concerned now without a defensive guy in Sean McDermott and the offense kind of, whether it was with, you know, Ken Dorsey or whether it was Brian Daboll back in the day, was kind of on autopilot from a coordinator standpoint. Now that Joe Brady has to be that coordinator and the head coach, I do worry about the defense. That's my one concern about Buffalo going into the year, that I feel like maybe people up there took it for granted what Sean McDermott actually did on that side of the ball and got it done a little bit with duct tape here and there. So that would be my one flag that I'd raise here. Not worried about the offense, certainly not worried about Joe Brady and Josh Allen. They've been symbiotic there running that offense here last year and beyond. I am going to be worried about the other side of the ball because sometimes for first-year head coaches, we've seen this. Say like a Brian Callahan who came in Tennessee and is supposed to be this offensive guy. Well, you're in charge of the whole thing. And we saw how that worked out, say, in Tennessee. I've seen first-year coaches that come in with an expertise on one side and not know how to coach the whole team. That's my one concern. San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, I don't have those concerns at all, Jensen. I like that side of that two-egg parlay to get home. So that would be my only concern. To push back on the Bills a little bit is that lock part. But I think at plus money, I like what you've done there to try to get that to the positive side at plus $1.21 for both those teams to make the postseason. Okay, let's talk some more World Cup. When we come back, Jack Collins is going to rejoin the program as well. The big guns, Jensen's, so far have really shined here in the World Cup. I wonder, do we have a big gun in the making here for Team USA, and how far can this magical run really go with two wins to the good side to start this off? We'll discuss all that and then some next right here on VEASAN by the Books.
VEASAN by the Books, right here on VEASAN.
We continue VEASAN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We really have enjoyed our conversations talking all things World Cup as this World Cup has continued to get deeper and deeper into it. And Jack Collins is kind enough to rejoin the program again today. Give him a follow on X at Jack Collins, Jack J. Collins. He is the host of SiriusXM FC and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Jack, I know you're still overseas across the big pond from us here today. Are you excited to come over here to the good old US of A here in short order?
I cannot wait. I've spent, you know, a fair amount of time in the States in the past, but mostly up in that kind of northeast corner, Chicago and New York, and going to Miami for the first time. I'm very, very excited to experience something different. But also, it is roasting here in London, and I am mostly excited about visiting places that have air conditioning, because this nation, as great as it is at some things, has just somehow not clocked what air conditioning is. So we're all just absolutely sweating away day. So I'm really excited about the logistics as well.
Jack, all you're going to have to worry about is when you get off the plane at South Beach, you'll still get the heat and humidity. But man, that first AC swath for you is going to feel just heavenly for you. Speaking of Miami, that's where we find Group C, at least one of the matches there that has some implications. Let me start with you on Scotland and Brazil. All kinds of things still at play here in Group C. And of course, they'll have a watchful eye on Morocco and Haiti. Still, the group winner up for grabs here, and also looking at that second place finisher, as well as now having this year's tournament iteration of the 8 third place finishers. Break down Group C in earnest for us, things you're looking for, perhaps some bettable angles as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what's really interesting about this is that when you look at the way that Brazil have played, I've not been particularly impressed. Yes, they beat Haiti 3-0 last time out. Haiti have struggled to create chances. And even in that game, Brazil didn't feel like they were in control of it for long periods. It took a lucky kind of break for them to find the first one. They had a great 20-minute spell, put the game to bed, but they didn't really step on the accelerator. And I think that's weird in a group where goal difference might end up being the differentiator. And I wonder, you know, how Morocco go about their business with that Haiti game today, if they look to effectively just put the throttle down and be like, we need to go and score more than three, and then we're in pole position to potentially go and take this group. I also think that Scotland are going to be a tougher nut to crack for Brazil than perhaps people are expecting. Not because I think that Scotland will necessarily win this game. They know that a point will guarantee them pretty much qualification into the next stage is something that Scotland have never achieved. They have a very, very strong midfield balance in this Scottish side. And whilst they lack for creativity, and I think we've seen that in the two games they've played so far, I am concerned that Brazil's midfield has looked weak. Their fullbacks have looked weak. If Scotland start to get a hold of this game from a physical perspective, and look, as you say, easier said than done in Miami. They're not in an air-conditioned stadium. Brazil should be more used to these conditions than Scotland necessarily are. But I think in the midfield battle, Scotland probably have a little bit of an edge for me. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this one potentially end as a draw. So I think there's a little bit of value in that bet, especially because Scotland know that a backs-to-the-wall draw performance would qualify them for the first time ever to the knockout rounds of the World Cup.
Jack, as we talked about last week, the expectation levels for Team USA, they're going to keep rising with every win. And now they've got two in the bank, and they're going to have Turkey IE that they're going to take on tomorrow. We know that they've already advanced out of this group stage here from Group D. How do you look at matchups like that when they're really, you don't want to say there's nothing on the line? Obviously, you can always improve your standing a little bit here, but how do you approach it when maybe the first mission has already been accomplished?
Yeah, and look, I think you're right in that there is nothing on the line from a kind of tangible perspective. Sure, we can talk about momentum and all of those different elements, but actually when you are looking at what this is, Turkey are out, they can't qualify, they're playing for pride, and the US have won the group. It's not like they've just qualified. This group is done and dusted. They will top it whatever happens here. And I think that what that does is it provides Maurizio Pochettino with a couple of problems. Good problems, for what it's worth. You would have killed for these problems at the start of the group stage. Two wins, won the group, all done and dusted. But there's a couple of players here a kind of risk of yellow card suspension. So important players as well. Flo Balogun, Tyler Adams, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, kind of stalwarts of the way that this Pochettino system operates. And on top of that, you've got Christian Pulisic coming back from an injury that ruled him out of the last game. Now, I think Pulisic will get minutes, but I think it might be 20 minutes towards the end of this game just to get him into a little bit of a rhythm. And I wouldn't be surprised if Pochettino doesn't take the yellow card risk with someone like a Tyler Adams, with someone like a Chris Richards, and with an Anthony Robinson, because missing them for the first round of the knockout stages is too much, I think, of a cross to bear. So what this potentially does for Pochettino is it gives him an opportunity to rotate. It gives him an opportunity to maybe play a couple of players who might not have seen the field in this World Cup, because the other part of this job, and the bit we don't really discuss when we're stuck in the tactical side of things and working out the best systems and the best players to play in those positions are, is how do you keep the group happy? And with a group knowing that the job has been done from a group stage perspective, is this the moment where we see a couple of players who might not have got those opportunities to play at a home World Cup getting to run out and actually show what they're capable of? A couple of maybe players who are banging on the door of the starting 11 looking at this and thinking, okay, maybe this is my opportunity to showcase that I could get some minutes and be of use later on in the tournament when the squad gets a little bit more stretched. The balance of that is momentum, right? Two wins from two, back-to-back wins for the first time since 1930. you don't want to give that up, even, you know, against a team like Turkey, who can be dangerous despite the fact that they've gone out of this tournament. No one's had more shots without scoring a goal than Turkey. And you're kind of looking at them thinking they might well need a bit of pride to take back, because it is a proud footballing nation and they will not want to go out of this World Cup with three losses on the kind of score sheet. So I think that Pochettino has a little bit of a tightrope to walk in terms of making sure that momentum continues whilst making sure that there's not players not available for the stage that comes after this. I'd imagine he's not going to take too many risks.
Excellent handicap, and wholeheartedly agree. This nation so excited for what could potentially be a very intriguing, maybe favorable path, Jack, once the United States finds out what their first round of 32 matchup and potentially looking ahead for a round of 16 might look like. Still a lot to be decided here in the first group of matches today. Group B at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Bosnia, Qatar. Bosnia's got a lot to play for here. Obviously, on the outside looking in, they would be the outside of that third place qualifying list right now, but we still have to decide a group winner, and we get it in Canada's backyard, out west in Vancouver. They'll take on the Swiss. Basically, a draw clinches Canada winning the group, but then Switzerland would have to overcome the goal differential, if I have that correct. A lot of implications. Let me start with you there between Canada and the Swiss. Tactically, what do you expect from these two sides here this afternoon?
I think it's interesting because there is a world, right, where these two draw and both of them progress quite comfortably. There's no worries about who comes in that kind of third space and where the kind of boundaries might fall with that. So part of me was like, well, are they just going to play out a draw and everyone's going to shake hands on 70 minutes and be like, well, last 20 don't matter. Let's not concede. Let's not lose and potentially risk kind of falling out of those top two spots. But equally, I can't see a Jesse Marsh side doing that, right? Like, he is a man of incredible intensity, and Switzerland will want to win this group, having been frustrated in that first game by Qatar. I think the Bosnia are a pretty safe bet to beat Qatar today, for what it's worth. I think that they are a better team, and Qatar, with a couple of players missing from red card suspensions, plus the kind of fact that everything went wrong for them in that game against Canada, puts them in a relatively difficult position. But I think Canada will come out firing here. We saw what the atmosphere was like in that game against Qatar. That felt like liftoff for this team. And Switzerland have had moments. They've threatened to catch fire towards the end of that game against Bosnia. Johan Manzambi, who, you know, was on the bench for that game, might well start in this one and could well be a player who you're kind of looking at and thinking, is that someone that's going to make a difference from the outset this time around? But I think that Canada will probably have enough to draw or win this game. And the reason is because it matters more, I think, to them than it does to Switzerland. The idea that Canada could remain on home territory for the next two games if they top this group is a real boon, right? And really something they'll want to play with. We're talking about, you know, an incredible atmosphere in Vancouver last time out, and what that means for legacy, I think, is a question for another day. But when you're kind of looking at this, I think that Canada will be inspired by that atmosphere, will want to continue that home advantage. And I don't think the Swiss have enough to play for in the bank to suggest that they're going to come out all guns blazing here. They probably look for a quick start. And if they don't get it, I think they tuck in and effectively accept that draw and look to maybe play on the counter attack. I don't think it's done and dusted, but I think the Canada arguably in slightly the better spot, knowing that a draw would top the group for them.
All right, Jack, I hate to do this to you in only 30 seconds left in this conversation, but the star of stars, all these stars are really showing up, scoring multiple games here in these matches, and I know that these countries are happy to see it. Who's going to be the star, and for which country ultimately to win this World Cup?
Look, I mean, it's been Lionel Messi so far, and I think that that's a reasonable space to start with. He feels like the pressure is off his shoulders, but I still think that as Argentina, or as good as Argentina are, their kind of strength is, oh, we're defending it. We don't need to worry about it, and the pressure is off their shoulders. I think that the answer is Spain still, and I think that it is going to be the young heir to the throne in Lamine Yamal. As the World Cup goes on, I think it's going to become more about control, and Spain are the best team in the world at controlling games, controlling the narrative, and if that opens up for Lamine Yamal to be able to do it, I think that this still could well be his World Cup. So I'm excited to see it.
Jack, you're the best. We can't wait for you to come over to our country, and we can't wait to catch up with you when you're down in Miami. Give him a follow on X at Jack J. Collins. We're back talking baseball next. It's VSiN by the Books.
Tuned in to V VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Great conversation with Jack Collins in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the books podcast. You can listen to those conversations like that one and with Jonathan Von Tobel on your time. We've got a tweet here from Dr. Actor KJ. He says, would you both stop saying turkey IE? I don't know where you guys got it, but it's absolutely nails on a chalkboard. Jack, Dr. Actor KJ, rather, it was Qatar, it was Qatar. We just try to go with what people are saying. I don't know where it came from either. I'm happy to say turkey. Believe you me. So if we want to go back to turkey, I'm good with that. But everybody was going turkey IE at the beginning of this thing, Jensen. We're just trying to be accommodating out there to the other countries so that we don't see like the brutish Americans that say it the way we want to say it.
We are in great shape. A devout listener every morning. Appreciate you, Doc. He's in the weight room somewhere listening to us, I can imagine. Oh. So keep picking up what we're putting down, brother, and you'll be in great shape.
Turkey, it is, in Qatar, apparently, or Qatar. let's get back to baseball today. A lot of interesting results yesterday. Some good games to look forward to today. Let's discuss it all right now in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, you've got some plays already in there for VSiN Pro subscribers. First of all, yesterday on the Diamond, I said to you, I'm glad you didn't watch Kodai Senga. Me and my Meet the Mess group text, it was blown up yesterday. It was a beautiful board if you're looking at his line, if you like the Stiepleford scoring in golf, because Jensen, he had a lot of numbers up there yesterday. Very quickly, seriously, though, I ask you this as a former major leaguer. When I'm watching a guy like Senga, I see a guy that has no confidence anymore on how to get people out and hoping to get people out. Is that correctable? Because right now he looks completely lost.
Yeah, he's just not right. And that's where you have blood in the water. So that was the easiest over on the board yesterday. And congrats to everyone that's a VSiN Pro subscriber who tailed that one. A really nice day, almost 8 units for yours truly on the Diamond. It's been an absolute cash cow for us so far this year. We hope to keep that momentum going, no question about it. Let's start right there on some totals, Dave. And right in South Beach, where Jack Collins will be headed here in about a week or two, we get the return of Yuri Perez, one of the fireballers here for the Marlins rotation. We also get Jacob DeGrom on the other side. Auto under. Let's go. And even better, Miami 11-8 actually to the under as a home underdog, which they will be a slight dog, almost even money. That's on the move here right now. But Jacob DeGrom and the Rangers, a short road favorite, minus $1.22. We're going to play the under 7.5 in that matchup. Dave, I just think we get lots of swing and miss, and you get that night game to day game. Not just any day game, Dave. 12-10. The early start. We don't even get the extra hour to rub the crud out of the eyes after the hangovers from the night before there and enjoying some of the nightlife. So this kind of screams a little getaway day special. Let's keep it under the total at 7.5 for that one. Under was a great play yesterday, looking at where we were for the Guardians and the White Sox. And Dave, I've told you this might be auto unders for the foreseeable future when Cleveland is involved, because no Jose Ramirez for the next handful of weeks, Chase DeLauder still on the injury list. It looks like a AAA lineup that's being run out there every single day for Stephen Vogt. And you get the getaway day special here with Eric Fetty, who's taken the mound for the White Sox. All he's done in his last four starts, Dave, how about a .156 ERA in 17 1/3? He's given up just one home run in that span, only one walk, but also punched out 14. So I do think with Tanner Bibee on the other side, we get another one of those under scenarios. Cleveland is 9-6 to the under as a road favorite, which they are here. So I think we get more run suppression, two unders in two matinees to get us started here on the Daily Diamond.
Yesterday was a nice winner with the Dodgers over that I believe you and I were both on there. And then today, coming back to this number here and looking to see if the starting pitches have already been announced here. And it's going to looks like Shohei's going to be back in the bump here against Joe Ryan. So are we going to get suppression of runs, Jensen, or can we go right back to the over?
I think we're going back to the over. And if you can find a 7.5, Dave, that is where I'm going to be. Here's a startling statistic. As a home underdog, Minnesota is 18-11-4 to the over, and they've been hitting that over by nearly a run and a half on average when that scenario presents itself. So again, a suppressed total. I'm seeing eights already populate at DraftKings. So if you can find the 7.5, even if you pay a little bit of juice on it, that's where I would go. You mentioned Ohtani back on the mound, has looked a little pedestrian here the last couple of times out. Does that continue today? I think it might. Minnesota sneakily has been okay offensively, and maybe they'll be able to still be able to impart some damage onto Shohei. If you look at the last 12 and two thirds here, Ohtani has given up 8 runs, 7 of them earned. Dave, that is a 5 ERA. Oh my goodness. Like just incredible to say out loud from Ohtani with the dominance he's had this year. But again, I think we just kind of go on the recency bias and we allow that Minnesota offense in this scenario to kind of trade blows here with the Dodgers. I would fully expect the Dodger offense to get to Joe Ryan, but I think we're right back to the over 7.5 between Dodgers and Twins at Target Field tonight.
A 5 ERA. That's half of Kodai Senga's. Yes, Senga is over 10, Jensen, if you can believe that, after his performance yesterday. Very quickly, because I asked you about this in context with Shohei, and I've asked you about guys like Shane Bieber in his first start back yesterday. We've talked a little bit about it with Hunter Brown in the Astros. When you got guys coming off injury, and I know Shohei now back in the bump today, part of that overplay, could it be like how long do you think they'll Dave Roberts and company will allow him to go in this return back to the mound today?
I think he'll be fine. I mean, if you kind of look at where, you know, it is a little extra rest in between. You know, he last pitched on the 17th. It was a win in that sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think, again, you're going to get some length from him. There's only been one start all year, Dave, that he's only been 5 innings or fewer than 6 innings, and that's back on May 20th. So every other start of the 12 he's had, 11 of them he has pitched at least 6 innings or more. I don't think there's going to be a reduction. The pitch counts, he's been incredibly efficient. Only 3 times this year he's had to go to 100-plus pitches. So to me, I don't think there's any reduction, any reins kind of pulled in on him. I think he's full go, even with an extra day of rest or two.
Let me ask you a little bit about Trey Savage in the Blue Jays. Wild one yesterday north of the border. I know you and I were both on the over in Houston, so that was nice to get those home, but it was sweaty, Jensen, to get those home. Savage going here again for the Jays, and just watching the game and listening to the broadcast, it feels like they feel like we do, that if there's a team in the American League that we're waiting to see if they can kind of take off and hit their stride, it might be the Jays. Is you Savage maybe today? Is that too big a price point for you to lay against Mike Burrows and the Stros?
Oof, boy, good question. Just the way you kind of had the game transpire yesterday, and I'm just going to go look on some of the splits here to see if we can decipher anything. 74% of bets, 53% of money right now on the Jays money line. I'm seeing, I think $1.47 is the cheapest price in the market there. I would say it's fair, Dave. I'm not like over the moon about it, but I think I'm more intrigued about where, as you mentioned, the standings, and it's a good point. As we begin play today, Toronto still occupies the final wild card spot in the American League. They are a game ahead of the Athletics and the Rangers. The Astros now, by virtue of their head-to-head win yesterday, they pulled within 2 games of that playoff spot, and the Twins and the Orioles are also 2 games back. So if you add Cleveland in there, Dave, they're a game and a half ahead of Toronto. That means you have 7 teams in the American League within 4.5 games, or 3.5 games, I should say, of each other for the final 2 wildcard spots. I think it's going to be this way for the majority of the end of the first half and also into the most of the second half. It just does not feel, to kind of roundaboutly answer your question, it doesn't feel like we have one of those teams that's just going to ultimately just catch fire like Toronto did last year. Now, maybe they could because their rotation depth is getting better, But I think you're looking at some of these run differentials. I mean, Toronto's 25 under. The Athletics are 56 wow. under. The Orioles, 24 under. Twins, 28 under. Houston is 41 under. Like, I mean, there are not some juggernaut offenses here that are going to be able to out-hit some of their pitching woes, at least in the next handful of weeks. So I think this is tightly contested, not only through the first half finish line, but probably deep into September as well.
Yeah, again, I'm still a little bit, once bitten, twice shy about getting back in the Blue Jays train this year. But I don't know if they get a little reinforcements here after Bo Bichette's defection to New York. Maybe Bo Bichette might want to come back. Who knows? Jensen, when we come back, we got a lot to get to here in the next hour of Beeson by the Books. We're going to have our managing editor, Adam Burke, going to be on the program. Our Wednesdays with Wes as we look ahead to the last elevated event on the PGA Tour, not just this year, but in perpetuity. We'll discuss all of that in the NBA draft next, right here, Beeson by the Books.